This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm too fly. This is my time.
It's time for Scrap Guy Solutions with your host, Jeremy Miller. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the season two premiere of the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast. I'm your host, the Scrap Guy, and now some call me the Trash Guy. I was at the YMCA just yesterday. I saw someone in the hallway and she said, "Hey, you're that guy." Whatever you want to call me, I don't care. But I'm your host, Jeremy Miller, and I am so excited to be here for another season of the podcast. And I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. There are tons and tons of podcast options available, and I appreciate you choosing this one. And just a reminder that our podcast studio is right here at Miller Scrap and Disposal in beautiful Winona, Minnesota. And since we are at the scrapyard and the scale is right behind me, you might hear trucks going back and forth. The transfer station is right out the window, so you might hear a loader beeping. You might hear a train going by because the train tracks aren't too far away. So that is just the environment that we're in. But thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. After I did the season one finale of the podcast back in December, I wasn't 100% sure that I was going to continue with another season. But after hearing from several of you, several of our listeners about how the podcast has positively impacted your life, I told myself, we have to keep going. We have to do another season of the pod, and here we are. The entire purpose of the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast is to help you, help our listeners make things happen. So here we are for season two, and we have some exciting episodes lined up, including several interviews with everyday folks who are out there making things happen. We'll do some more quick tip episodes as well. Between now and the end of the year, I'm planning to do about 10 or so episodes with the goal of releasing a new one every other week. We'll do our very best. Sometimes things get a little hectic, but we'll try to do about 10 episodes and we'll try to release them every other week. We may do a couple more. We may do a couple less. We'll just see how things go. I often like to share a disclaimer, especially on the podcast or when I'm giving advice to people, because I'm not here pretending to be someone I'm not. I am not the smartest person you'll ever meet or in this case listen to, and I certainly do not have all of the answers. But I do have a tremendous amount of real life experience that until the podcast, I really tried to keep mostly private. But that has changed as I'm sharing many of my life experiences on this podcast, all in an effort to help you make things happen, to help you get to that next level, to help you get things done. I'm passionate about being a difference maker, and I truly believe that one of my purposes in life is to help make a difference in the lives of others. And this podcast is one of the many ways that I try to do that, one of the many ways that I try to help make a difference. From being involved in a multi-generational family business that dates back to the early 1900s, our records show 1910 to be exact, but from being involved in this multi-generational family business to launching multiple businesses from scratch to success, most recently a restaurant and a garbage business here a couple years ago, to building a real estate portfolio that includes commercial, industrial, short-term, and long-term rentals in six different states, to helping a few startup businesses grow, I think it's pretty safe to say that I'm a serial entrepreneur. I also find time to work out on a regular basis and try to keep myself in shape. I volunteer in the community, coach youth sports, and most importantly, try to spend as much quality time as I can with my family. I've also served 15 years in the Minnesota State Senate and have held multiple leadership positions during this time, including Senate Majority Leader and being the youngest senator in state history to be elected Senate President. I've made things happen by doing what it takes to get things done. I don't pretend to be the smartest person in the room because I'm usually not. And even when I'm the only person in the room, it's questionable. I don't pretend to have all the answers because I usually don't. Too many times people try to be someone that they aren't. We all know that person who always tries to be the center of attention. We all know that person who has all the answers and is never wrong. Just ask them and they'll tell you. While they might be able to fool some, eventually it tends to catch up with them and people see right through it. The reality is, this is not the reputation you want to build for yourself. I've learned the best way to make things happen, the best way to get things done, is with hard work, determination, and dedication. I call it grit. You have to be willing to put in the time, put in the effort, and put in the work to make things happen. You also have to be honest with yourself and honest with others. It doesn't have to be fancy. Just figure out what you want, then get started, stick with it, and go make it happen. And this podcast is anything but fancy. I'm pretty much a one-man show, so no producers, no writers, and I'm not super technologically advanced, so I don't have all the bells and whistles that a lot of other podcasts have. I will say, though, one of the guys in the office here, Dougie Fresh, has suggested that I look at AI to maybe do a new intro and closing for the podcast. So if you do hear a new intro on this episode, it's because I figured it out. And if you don't, well, it's because I either didn't have time to do it or I haven't figured it out yet. But at the end of the day, this is nothing fancy. We just stick to the basics. We try to keep it simple and give you as many tips as we can to help you make things happen. And making things happen doesn't have to be fancy either. In fact, I've found that keeping things simple, sticking to the basics, like figuring out what you want, putting a plan in place, setting goals, and working your butt off, working harder than anyone else to accomplish those goals is usually all you need. I've learned that not too many things worth having in life come easy. So if you want something, you have to work for it. You have to earn it. And if you don't, someone else will. Basically, it comes down to this. There are not many trips down Easy Street. If you want something, you have to figure out a way to get it done. You have to make it happen, and no one is going to do it for you. I've also learned that you can't do it by yourself. Early in both my professional and my political careers, I tried to do it all, and it spread me thin. It wore me down, and it made me less effective. I quickly learned about the importance of surrounding yourself with a strong team of people who can help you make things happen, and vice versa, being in a position to help others make things happen. I've become a big believer in hiring really good people, and not only that, but allowing them to do their jobs, allowing them to do what they were hired to do. It's usually not difficult to do, but I always try to hire people who are smarter than me, who know what they're doing and can do their job well. The best way to build a team, the best way to surround yourself with strong people is to build relationships and grow your network. This is something I learned from my dad. He really didn't come out and say, hey, it's important to build relationships, but rather I learned from watching him succeed in business and during his time in public office. I've also learned from my dad the importance of building a positive reputation. I've learned that when you say you're going to do something, follow through and do it. Your word, your commitment is so important, and I'm sure you, like me, have been burned a few times when relying on someone or trusting someone who said they were going to do something, and then they don't follow through with it. I'm certainly not perfect, and I don't always get it right, but I've developed a pretty darn good sense of when someone is telling the truth and when they are lying. And nothing bothers me more, nothing bothers me more than when people are dishonest. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I have very little respect. Actually, I have no respect for people who lie. I used to feel sorry for them a little bit. That's sort of the compassionate side of me, the sympathetic side of me. But you know what? I've been burned one too many times by people lying or people being dishonest that I just really don't have the time of day for them anymore. Another thing I've learned from my dad is the importance of taking care of your customers, doing what it takes to meet the needs of your customers. My dad has ingrained in me the importance of customer service. This is a top priority and one of our core values here at Miller Scrap and Disposal. We go the extra mile. We go above and beyond to ensure our customers are getting the services they need. And not only that, but we get to know our customers. It's not just about a transaction. It's about building that relationship. It's about getting to know your customers. I have customers I buy scrap from that I can often anticipate how the conversation's going to go before it happens. For example, if I'm trying to buy scrap, I have one customer who is very prim and proper. This customer is very, very formal. I will present them with an offer or I'll quote them a price, and this customer will either say yes or no. And I know that there's no negotiating. It's either yes or no. So I always, always try to sharpen my pencil and put my best foot forward for that customer. I do that for all customers, but I have other customers that like to wheel and deal a little bit, but not this customer. It's very formal. You give me the price and it's either yes or no. I have another customer that every time I quote a price, every single time I quote a price, they ask for a penny more. It never fails. If I quote $2 a pound, they will ask for $2.01. If I quote 21 cents a pound, they will ask for 22 cents a pound. It is always, always a negotiation with that customer. On the flip side, I have another customer who sells me scrap by the truckload without even asking for a price. It's always price to be determined based on what the market does. He trusts that I'm treating him fairly, and he is absolutely right because we try to put our best foot forward for all of our customers, regardless of whether it's a couple pounds here or there or a couple truckloads. We always try to treat our customers right, treat them fairly. I have another customer whose every other word is an F-bomb. It is the scrap industry after all. So when I talk to him, I throw out an F-bomb here and there, but I just have to be careful that I'm not talking to him around my wife because swearing absolutely drives her nuts. She just hates it. I used to swear quite a bit when I first met her. Like I said, it's the scrap business. It's the scrap industry. It's fairly common. But I've learned from my wife to cut it back a little bit when it comes to the swearing. Actually, cut it back a lot. I try to swear very, very little, if at all, when I'm around my wife and kids. Not only do we try to treat our customers right when it comes to pricing, but I always try to make my customers feel like they are the most important person I'm talking to, because the reality is they are. Without customers, we're not buying and selling scrap. We aren't employing people. We aren't giving back to the community, at least not financially. Without customers, there is no business. We do the same thing at Sliced. We want to make sure our customers, our patrons, are getting great food and friendly service. Not only that, but our staff know and appreciate our regulars and often call them by either their first name or maybe even their nickname. I'm sure this is a big reason why Sliced was voted the number one must-try pizza in Winona and why many of our customers say we have the best wings in town. But none of this happens without a strong and dedicated team of people. I am so fortunate to have a strong and dedicated team of people here at Miller Scrap and Disposal. Our staff at the Minnesota Senate, absolutely incredible. Our team at Sliced, second to none. I am just so fortunate to have really, really good, strong, and dedicated people around me and involved in the businesses that I'm involved in. Meeting people, building relationships, and growing your network are all critically important when it comes to making things happen. But equally, if not more important, is the type of reputation you develop or you create for yourself. I'll never forget meeting an individual named Michael Ditchfield during my freshman year of college when I was going to school in Denver, Colorado. Michael is a former professional soccer player. He also spent some time as a kicker with the Denver Broncos. Michael said something to me that has stuck with me for about 25 years now. He said, "Jeremy, you've probably heard the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know." And I said, "Yeah, Mr. Ditchfield, I've heard that." He said, "Well, that's not completely accurate." And I kind of said, "What? What are you talking about?" He said, "It's not what you know or who you know, it's who knows you." Think about that for a minute. Mr. Ditchfield said, "It's not what you know or who you know, it's who knows you. And ever since he said that to me, not only has it proven to be right time and time again, but it's a constant reminder to always leave a positive impression on people. What reputation are you leaving when you meet people? It's critically important to know people, to build relationships, to continue to expand your network. There's no question about it. But it's equally, if not more important, who knows you? What type of reputation have you built for yourself? Do people trust you? Are you a go-getter? Do you know what it takes to make things happen? When you make a commitment, do you follow through? Or do you constantly make excuses and blame others? You never know when you might meet someone who you met in the past. You never know when you're going to meet someone who knows someone you know. What type of reputation are you building for yourself? We all know that person that can talk to talk. Everything they say sounds really good, but yet they rarely, if ever, follow through. Have you built a reputation for getting things done? Or do you have a reputation of saying one thing and doing another? Do you have a reputation for being dishonest? Or have you proven to do what you say you're going to do? Do you have a reputation for making excuses and blaming others? Or do you do what it takes to make things happen? Ask yourself, when someone is hiring for an important position within a company, or when someone's looking for a board seat for a local nonprofit, are they going to recruit you? A good example of this happened to me about 6 or 7 years ago. Out of the blue, I received a telephone call from the CEO of a recycling company down south. I had never met this guy, but he knew about me. He knew about the success I had with launching a brokerage division here at Miller Scrap and Disposal. He knew about the truckloads and the container loads of scrap that we were buying and selling all over the country and shipping domestically and globally. And he wanted to hire me to help him do something similar. And he made me an attractive offer. I was recently cleaning out one of my file folders in my drawer, in my desk drawer, and I happened to find the offer sheet. We'll just say it was a very, very attractive offer. Ultimately, it wasn't something I pursued, but it once again proved the importance of building relationships, networking, and that part about developing and creating a positive reputation for yourself. As Michael Ditchfield told me, it's not what you know or who you know, it's who knows you. And to this day, I don't know. I have no idea who recommended me to this guy, but obviously it was someone who had a favorable impression of me. Something else I learned from this experience was the importance of a work-life balance. And you may ask how? Well, it was a simple telephone call that made that happen. After the CEO and I spoke the first time on the telephone, we scheduled a second call, and he told me that he was available most of the day other than between noon and 2 p.m. because that's the time he set aside each day to go to the gym. Prior to this, I was waking up early in the morning, really early in the morning, to work out, or I tried to work out after work. But during this call, a light bulb went off in my head and made me think differently about how I was balancing my day. And since then, I've adjusted my schedule. So most days when I'm here in Winona, I block off time during the lunch hour to get a workout in. And instead of going out to lunch, I pack a lunch. That's a very money-saving tip if you're thinking about it. Those who know me know that I'm frugal and like to save money. So packing a lunch rather than going out to lunch not only saves you money, but it gives you more time and flexibility to get a midday workout in, which I've been doing for a few years now. And I absolutely love it. And it works really well for me and my schedule. I get to work early, and my workday generally starts even earlier, probably about an hour or so before I even get to the office. And while I'm sipping my coffee in the morning, I like to check the commodity markets, emails, financial markets, news, and I always check the sales numbers from the night before at Sliced. So morning workouts aren't always ideal for my work schedule. The midday workout also helps me keep my evenings open for more family activities. It works well for me. When I'm up at the Capitol, the midday workouts, not so much. It's very difficult because things get so busy during the day with floor sessions, committee hearings, constituent meetings, phone calls, emails, all the different things that keep me incredibly busy at the Capitol. So I do try to work out in the morning, but this isn't always easy either because oftentimes I'm at the Capitol late at night, or there's meetings or dinners, or sometimes I have one too many beers the night before and it makes waking up in the morning a little difficult. But nonetheless, I still try to get those morning workouts in when I'm at the Capitol because that's what works best for my schedule when I'm up there. Speaking of the Capitol, another example of the importance of relationships and building a positive reputation takes me back to 2009 when I had a conversation with Fastenal founder and former state senator Bob Kierlin. Prior to this meeting in 2009, I had known who Bob was. He was a pretty big deal in our community, but I had never met him, at least not one-on-one. I was interested in running for public office, and Bob, being a former state senator from our community, I reached out to him to see if he'd be willing to meet with me and share some advice. He very easily could have said no, but instead he agreed to meet with me. And not only did he agree to meet with me, but when we met, he proceeded to tell me, Bob Kierlin told me, how impressed he was with my involvement in the community with some different non-profit groups. Here I was 24, 25 years old at the time, and I had the founder of a multi-billion dollar company telling me he was impressed with me. Not only did Bob encourage me to run for the Minnesota Senate, he asked to be on my campaign committee. That's right. Bob asked me if he could be on my campaign committee, and he played an instrumental role in helping me win, helping me get elected in 2010. He became a mentor and a good friend ever since that first meeting. Unfortunately, Bob recently passed away unexpectedly earlier this year, and he will be missed by many. He'll be missed by so many. He's done so much for our community, and one thing is certain, his legacy will forever live on in our community and in our state and so much beyond that. And Bob, may you rest in peace, my friend. Another example of building a good reputation, building relationships, expanding your network came when Janelle and I opened a restaurant with our close friends and our business partners back in 2021. Wow, it's hard to believe that this October will be 4 years since Sliced has been open already. Wow, that's crazy. I can tell you that with absolute certainty, this does not happen without an incredibly talented general manager with a ton of experience in the bar and restaurant industry that Janelle, our business partners, and I all knew. Frenchie, along with the incredible team that he has built, is the reason Sliced in downtown Winona has been so successful. We knew Frenchie, he knew us, and most importantly, we trusted each other, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Frenchie and the Sliced team have developed quite the following here in Winona, which is why Sliced has become so popular. It's a popular place to eat and drink and work. And if you're in the area, or next time you're in the area, you should definitely check out Sliced here in downtown Winona. I'll share one more example. This will probably be the last example unless I think of another one. But about 7 or 8 years ago, I met someone through a mutual friend who invested in commercial and industrial real estate properties. Prior to this, I had a few residential rental properties, but after doing more research and learning more about commercial and industrial real estate, I became very interested. And when I look into something and I think about doing it, I become very committed and I go all in. And this same person introduced me to a commercial real estate agent. One thing led to another, and well, it resulted in the real estate portfolio that Janelle and I now own and manage. It's hard to believe that Janelle worked full-time outside the house for several years while I was in the Senate, including after all three boys were born. Eventually, our real estate portfolio became too much for me to manage on my own, and with everything else going on and being pulled in this direction and that direction, Janelle started to help out managing the real estate properties. And now today she plays a significant role, a huge role in helping manage our real estate portfolio, not to mention managing our household. And trust me, managing the three boys, our dog, and me is more than a full-time job in itself, not to mention everything else that Janelle does with our real estate portfolio, volunteering at school, volunteering in the community. Janelle is just an absolute rock star, and I love her and appreciate her so, so much. These are all examples of the importance of building relationships. I just shared, three or four examples of the importance of building relationships, growing, expanding your network, and developing a positive reputation. As Michael Ditchfield told me about 25 years ago, it's not what you know or who you know, it's who knows you. So remember, the next time you meet someone, leave a positive impression on them, because you never know when you might see them again in the future. You never know when you might need them for something in the future. You never know when they might need you for something in the future. Something else that's really cool is a lot of times these relationships turn into friendships. I can't tell you how many long-lasting friendships that I've formed over the years in my professional circles or political circles or social circles, and I am incredibly grateful for these long-lasting friendships that have formed over the years. I'm just so, so appreciative of them. Well, this concludes the season 2 premiere of the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast. Thank you for listening, and please consider giving us a like, leave us a 5-star review, and tell others about the pod. And remember, make today your day. Figure out what you want, then get started, stick with it, and go make it happen. Peace out.
4, 3, 2, 1. Watch out. Here I come. This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm too fly. This is my time. Ready to shine. Brighter than all of the lights. Cause when it's game time. Seconds away and the game's on the line. There ain't no doubt in my mind. Beating the buzzer like. This is my time.